We started a few weeks ago, Peli Yoetz, the essay on Bizoyon. And we spoke about the Mishnah in Avos, Al Tehi Vaz, L'chol Adam, and how we have to be careful because you never know who's going to be the rising star, and you have to be sensitive to everyone. If you're not, you might be digging your own grave, so to speak. You might be in really big trouble. So that part of this essay, Bizoyon, means where you're the active cause of Bizoyon, of humiliation to someone else. And now at this point, about halfway through the Maimar, the Peli Yoetz speaks about the exact opposite situation. What if you become the victim of Bizoyon? And he writes, V'im yivazuhu acherim al yakpid klal ve'al yetze l'riv. If others humiliate him, he shouldn't be standing on his own sensitivity. He should not go out to battle against such a person. Ela oz yidke yoshoach v'yomar. He should accept it and sort of bow and say, Zeli ha'os, this is a sign from heaven, shani nis'av, that I've done something in front of my Creator that makes me nis'av, milashon toeva, something disgusting, something repulsive, ne'elach, something that's not tolerable, if ne'abore machmas avonosai, and be in the wake of my sins, sholach levazos osi, this person was a shliach to humiliate me, and ki Hashem amar lo kalel, God gave him the permission, so to speak, the green light to go ahead and curse me. At the same time, he should be very proud of himself, and he should be full of joy. Because God is letting him get away with relatively easy suffering, and that suffering, that isurim, low flame, is going to bring him kapara. He doesn't have to lose any money. He's just humiliated in order to bring about an atonement for his sins. The covered God Allah in Shemaim, this is great that Hashem did this in Shemaim Ubilvad Shi Kabli Bi Ava. Again, this is unconditional that he's capable of accepting the suffering with love. Via Sameh Bisur Nelu, and therefore he's joyous about this suffering. Those who are nelovim, v'yedim alivim, they accept the yisur v'ava, they fit into the special category of oavav, they're beloved to God, they love God. And now it goes back to the active role and the prohibition against in any way being an ingrate, in any way embarrassing someone, humiliating someone, and if that someone gave benefits to him, he accepted, he received hadnah from him, how much more so, and therefore we should stay far away and be very careful not to be mevaza someone. And here he introduces the famous Kal Vachomer that if the Torah is careful about not being mevaza inanimate objects, how much more so human beings who are sensitive. The Gemara says in Brachos, Ein levaza sasa ochlim, we don't treat food with disdain. And we have a principle in the Gemara Bava Kama, Beira deshasis mine maya lo tishte beikola. If you drank from the well, don't ruin the well. This is the place that gave you sustenance. We have Moshe Rabbeinu who refuses to hit the Yaar because he was saved by the Yaar, by the waters of the Nile. He doesn't hit the Afar because it was in the Afar that he was Tomen. He buried the Mitzri. His Kolshkein, and also we can find this from the Pasuk Lomala, Lomala Sal Mizbechi, not to embarrass the Avonim. Is kolshkein chalva chomer liyodim shehetiv imo, a person, a human being, who bestowed good upon him, b'kavod mechuvenes, and then you're going to embarrass him. is tzorech shetei avoso shmuro l'nesu. He should have an eternal love for this person. Now, I'd like to study with you a sefer called the Oel Yaakov on Parshas Mitzora. I doubt if this is the famous Oel Yaakov of Rav Yaakov Kranitz, meaning the Dubna Magid, who has Mishalom al Torah. I think more likely this might be the Oel Yaakov of Rav Yaakov Chai Zrahim, who wrote a sefer on the Torah which is full of pilpulim and drashos ramazim. It was published about a century ago in Yerushalayim. In any event, he writes in his comment here, and he's basing himself on a Medrash Tanchuma, that Ein Lecha Na Min Rachel. In the Medrash in Tanchuma in Parshas Vayetze, Ein Lecha Na Min Rachel. No one is as pleasant, as beautiful as Rachel. U'bishvil Noya Bikesh Yaakov Lisa Osa. And as a result of her beauty, Yaakov wanted to marry her. V'ayim Mishalech Sivlonos Litnam L'Rachel. He gave, or he sent gifts to Rachel. V'lovan intercepted them, Nosnam L'Lea. And Rachel was aware of this. And yet, Haisa Rachel Shel Sekes. She was quiet, she was silent. And letting this go by, allowing as it were, the Sivlonos to go to Leah, even though they were earmarked for her. Rachel Tafsa V'Shtika. Rachel's outstanding characteristic was Shtika. She was able to overcome any natural tendency of screaming out. She just accepted things in silence. And therefore, Omad Zara B'Shtika. She injects into her spiritual genetic code for all generations the Mila and the Mid of Shtika. Rasa Sivlonos Biadachosa V'Shaska. She sees that her gifts, which were earmarked for her, are in the hands of her sister, and she was quiet. Binyamin Bina. Binyamin also is the personification of shtika, of silence, because Ha'evin Shalom Min Ha'efod Yishpeh, the name of the stone on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which represented the Shevet of Binyamin, was Yishpeh, Yeshpeh, meaning he has a mouth, but he controls his mouth. He's silent. Yodeh B'Mechiris Yosef is Shosek. He, Binyamin, was aware of the fact that the brothers had sold Yosef, but he never revealed that. Yeshlo Pev Shosek. Then we get to Shaul Ben Bino. We're in a few generations down the line. Again, a descendant of Rachel, that's Shaul. Vestvar Hamalucha Lo Higidlo. That it says in Shmuel that Shaul kept it a secret that he was already appointed as a melech. Again, the midah of silence. And finally, Esther, who's again a descendant of Binyamin, Ein Esther Mageres Molarita, she's able to keep her secret. She doesn't reveal her nationality. So this is Rachel and the generations of Rachel, all personifying this ability to keep things inside, to be silent, even in the face of humiliation. Now, there's a book by one of our contemporaries with many volumes called The Oleinu L'Shavech Al HaTorah, Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein. And we're going to take a look at a few pieces of his. We'll start with one on Parshas Miketz. Vayimotze Agvia B'Yamtachas Binyamin. In other words, Yosef had commanded his officers to hide a gvia in the sack of Binyamin, and now Binyamin is being accused of theft. Says the Aleinu Shaber, HaMedrash Mesaper, Sheliacher Shenimtza Gvia Bamtachas Binyamin, Omru Lo Kol Ha'achim Ganva Bar Ganvasa. You are the Ganav, the son of a Ganeves, Ganvasa. because your mother Rachel was also a thief. She stole the trophim of Lavan, of her father. And therefore, you, Yosef, are following in the footsteps of your mother. You were also a thief. That's one way of interpreting the Medrash. But the Olein HaShebech says, Amru lo, that the brothers accused Binyamin of being a thief. Binyamin is also the son of Rachel. And it doesn't say in the Medrash what the response of Binyamin was. And it sounds like Binyamin was silent. He didn't claim his innocence of, you know, deny any sin. And therefore, after Li'achar, Me'achar v'kibulas ha'cherpos v'abizyonos bi'ava, he accepted all these humiliating accusations from his brothers with love. Mitoch havana shezug zeres habore, he understood that this is part of a divine decree. Ubevade shehilitova, anything from Hashem is for the good. Is there for zocha v'nivne beis hamikdash bechelko? The Medrash tells us that in the zchus of his silence, of his accepting the Ava, these bizyonos from his brothers, he was zochet to have the Beis HaMikdash in his territory. Ra'ui hu tzadik shekazesh etishre shechina etzlo. Hashem declares that such a tzadik, like Binyamin, who takes and quietly, silently accepts all these bizyonos, such a great tzaddik, I want my Shechina to be in his territory. And this, says the Olein HaShebech, is a limud gadol l'doros, something that we have to learn for all generations. Anyone who could fit into this category of ne'alavim v'yenam olvim, even when they're insulted, they don't insult the other person, they don't shoot back. They receive their humiliation and they don't respond. How great is the reward for such a person? Let's take a look now at the Daskenim Ibalia Tosvis and Parashas Breishis. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav establishes Tana Rabbanan and Elavim V'Einam Olvim. Shomim cherposam v'yena meshivim, osim mi'ava usmechim bi'isurim aleim ha'kosiv omer v'ov of kitzeis ha'shemesh b'gvuroso. That was the Gemara that the Peleoates had referred to, had alluded to in Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Balei HaTosfos explain, based on this principle in the Gemara of Gittin, the Shnei Ama'oros HaGedolim. God created two luminaries, gigantic luminaries. Echad was Gadol Michaver Dichsiv Es Hama'or HaGadol. And Chazal Darshan, that initially God created both Ma'oros equal, Shavim V'Gdula. But Kitriga Halavana Minismata, the Levana came forward with a complaint, a bitter complaint. Why should we be both equal? Hashemesh Amad Bigdulaso Lefisha Shamachir Pasavalo Heshiv. The sun was silent and accepted these harsh words of the Levana that Why should the sun be equal to me? And there was no response from the Shemesh. V'hainu d'amrina ne'lovim v'yena olvim shomim chaposmein v'shivim aleim ha'kosvov v'yov kitzeis ha'shemesh b'gvuroso. Why does the pasuk kitzeis ha'shemen gvuroso, why is that chosen as the pasuk to illustrate this concept of ne'lovim v'yena olvim? Shemesh Bigvuros. So the Shemesh has this koach. The Shemesh is Shomea Cherposo Velo Toshiv, and therefore became greater. And In the Yotzer of Shabbos, there is a girsa that says Rav Hikten Suras Halavana, and it means Ra Hashem Yisparsha Kitchaga, and therefore Hashem was Maktin the Levana. This is another illustration, a demonstration of what we spoke about, receiving and accepting the busha, the bizyonos, without shooting back and attacking. Now, Rav Aaron Levin has a sefer which is called Hadrash V'Ha'iyun, and he very often explains Agadita. In this case, the Agadita Gittin of an Elovim V'Enim Olvim Shovim Cherpos V'Enim Hashivim Yesh L'Dagdek Al Haloshon Nelovim V'Enim Olvim Shovim Cherpos V'Enim Hashivim. After all, isn't there some sort of redundancy here? It's repetitious. Musag echad kaful b'milo shonos. You're just expressing that same concept, identical concept in two words. Why repeat it? V'nirev havanas hadvarim. This is Rav Aaron's answer to this question. She'im omnam zumida tova mi'od. Im yimshol ha'odam al atzma, if a person has self-control and discipline, this is a great midah. Lo yashiv charfav davar, he doesn't respond to these people who are humiliating him. Hidei lo yas lasos kein rak im hacherpa nogas ach lo levadul chvod atzma. Supposing this humiliation is relevant only to him, it's directed at him and exclusively to him, then he could reach this high level. And he's Moshe Alatzmo, and he doesn't respond. Aval im yishma ha'adam cherpas acherim. But if he's overhearing another person being humiliated, asher yodea hu mehem ki hemat mimim uyisharim v'lo avlasa bohem, oz lo tova shtika. Silence would be inappropriate in a situation where he knows that someone is getting humiliated, and that person has no. There's no guilt, there's no reason why he should be suffering so much humiliation. And in such a case, then he should be making some sort of mecha. He should be making a protest. It's not a good thing for him to be in a state of silence. Silence is good if you want to be mochel on your own kavod, and you want to accept your own halava, your own humiliation, but not if someone else is being humiliated. Then you have to stand up and protect your friend. The Adrabi says, "Achov muto lekane kin asam ulahagin al kvodom hamechulal." That a person in this circumstance, where he's witness, he's seeing what's going on to his friend is being humiliated, then he should do what he has, his obligation, whatever, in whatever form, in whatever shape, lekane kinosam, to be zealous, and to protect that person's cover. And that's what Gemara means at the end of Makkos, otem ozno mishmo adamim, the Gemara comes down very harsh on someone who has ears and he hears what's going on with someone else, in this case the Tzurmir Rabbanan, the Talmid Chacham, is being insulted and he remains silent. Silence is not automatically a great thing. It has to be appropriate to a time and a place. You see someone who's being insulted, you have to do everything in your power to object and to stop this. And otem ozno mishmo adamim. That's not a good thing. If he's otem ozno, he covers his ears. V'zeu shasa amru gam chazal hanelovim v'enam olvim. Now we can begin to see the difference between these two lashonos and why it's not redundant. There's Nelovim V'Einam Olvim. Achein lo b'chol pam heima osim kein rak shomim cherposam kshomim ach cherpas atzmam einam meshivim al kshomim cherpas ulosam v'mokim sheishkil kvod Hashem ischil ha-mishpat v'atztoka. Hema mishivim v'ondim v'onim yariu af yitzrichu la'anoshim ka'ele nos tchilas tila v'yikar olema kosmon v'yov k'seis Hashemesh b'gvuros. Meaning that the Gemara in Gittin wants to emphasize this contrast, this distinction between someone who's being insulted personally, he himself as a person is being insulted, that's called Nelovim, but Enam Olvim, he doesn't strike back. The additional phrase of Cherposam, Shomim Cherposam, is to, Lafuke, is to exclude the case of Cherpas Acherim. And therefore the Gemara emphasizes Hashomim Cherpasam, if it's their humiliation, then that's a madriga that they don't respond and they accept it with silence. But in a case of someone who hears the Cherpas Acherim Zulasam, so then that's a different story. The Gemara wants to restrict and limit this great Mila of Nelovim V'enom Olvim and tell you that in certain cases, chas v'shalom, you shouldn't be an otem, ozno, mishmo domin. You have to get up and make a protest. You have to do whatever you can to protect someone else. It's shomim cherpasam, cherpas atzman, and then v'yena meshivim. That's a madriga. But k'shashom cherpas ulosam, that would be a chil Hashem if he doesn't get up and make a protest. If he's aware and he's, let's say, a spectator of any sort of chilul hamishpat v'atztaka, any sort of trampling and violation of the laws of justice, is hema mishivim v'onim. Then you should be a meshiv and an ona. You should get up and make a protest. Yoriu af yatzrichu. You should yell and scream. La'nosha ke'ela nos tehila v'yikar v'alema kosov omer. So if a person is, it fits into both categories. When it's noged to himself, he accepts it, and he's not malivim. But when it's noged to someone else, he gets up and he fights like a lion. That's a person who fits the category of ovav, kitzeis hashemen, hashemesh bigvuroso. And lemaisa, we see very often that people, unfortunately, especially in the West, in modern contemporary life, they wave the flag of mind your own business. In other words, if something's happening to someone else, you might be a few feet away. Mind your own business. You know, lift up the newspaper and put your face in the newspaper. You know, and don't look to your left. Don't you to the right. There were cases in which people were molested publicly on a train in a car of a train, and people were just reading their daily morning newspaper. They didn't want to get involved. Mind your own business. You know, they're not attacking me. What do I care? So on the one hand, you have to be a nelav and enom alivim, but on the other hand, you have to be cherpas acherim, hashomea cherpas acherim. You have to get involved. Umashehim shilu hanoshim ka'ela lehashemesh. What's the simile here, the analogy to the sun? Before we discussed in the Daskenim Valitosis that the sun was listening to the heard the complaints and the halava of the Yerech, of the Levana, and didn't say a word, accepted it silently. And therefore we compare it to the Shemesh. But here we have a slightly different approach. Yesh lomer bazeh rayon nichbad. I have a very good idea that's worthy of listening to. Ki Hashemesh ha'isa amnom v'vchina azos shal kovet atzma lo chasa avol kovet acherim chasa. That the sun would be mavater on its own covet, but when it came to the covet of someone else, it took a very harsh position. So let's go through these two categories regarding the Shemesh. Al-Kvad Atzma Lo Chasa. What's that? The B'shas Havriya Shalavana Kitriga Kenegda V'rotzal Hashpolas Kvoda. When the Levana came forward and wanted to see Hashpola of the covet of the sun, that the sun should go down in its stature. and the Levana was waving the flag of the Efshal Lishnei Malachim Shishtamshu B'Keser Echad, no two kings can both be kings at the same time. Vashemesh Shetikach, I'm sorry, Vashemesh Shoska V'lo'on Sedovar. When the Levana came forward and say, how could the son be a co-king? There's no such thing as co-kingship, co-extensive kingship. The son didn't say a word. Now, in contrast, we find at the time of the machlokas between Korech and Adoso that this was a group of people that rose against Moshe Rabbeinu. They, the Korach, I just wanted to undermine the kavod and desecrate the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oslo Shoska Shemesh. Here's another situation, but on the contrary, in contrast to the first round of the Levana, where the Shemesh was Shosakas, here there was no silence. Chaklovsha Nakam. The Shemesh, if we could use poetic terms, wore the outfit of Nakam, of we're going to take revenge. And Hagena al Kvod Moshe HaMechulal, and the Shemesh came forward to protect the honor and the dignity of Moshe Rabbeinu against those members of Korach Hados who wanted to underline and desecrate that kavod. Kimaimer Chazal ben Adorim Lametesha Olu Shemesh V'Yarech Uthnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yomu Lefanov, that the sun and the moon, Sha'ol Shemesh V'Yarech, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Yomu Lefanav, Ima Ta'ose Din Leben Amram Anu Me'irim, Im Lav Einu Me'irim. The complaint of the son was, how could this go on? How could we tolerate this Chul Hashem, this Chul Mishpat Utztaka? How could it be that tzaddikim are being insulted? And that's what the Shemesh said. So the Shemesh personifies not just, as we saw in the Tanchuma, the acceptance of the complaints and so forth of the Lefana, but also coming forth with a complaint and registering its sense of being unacceptable for this Chol Hashem to go on of Anashim Ka'ila being insulted. And if you take a look at the Gemara in Chulin, the language is that Korach Adoso Koma Al Moshe Rabbeinu Vratzu Lechal Kvodo Lo Shoska Shemesh Rak Lov Shod Nokom Vehigin Al Kvod Moshe Mechul Al Komrum Chazal Sheolu Shemesh V'Yarech Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yomru Lefonov Iyatem Osim Din Imatem Osim Din Leben Amram. So this is the sun and the moon up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that if you do a judge, if you protect, I guess, din here I think means protect with justice, ben Amram, onu me'irim, will give light, but im lav ein onu me'irim. So there was no ichur over here, he says. There was no delay. There was no postponement. The Levana was Lamota Sikhsuch Shahoisa Bineyam Bishasa Briya Kidela Hogim Biyachad. Even though the Levana had this Sikhsuch, this sort of altercation and competition with the Shemesh at the time of the creation, but nevertheless, when it came to defending the kavod of a Holech Tomim, of someone who was Tomim, who was perfect, a Moshe Rabbeinu, then she, the Levana, comes together with the Shemesh, Biad Kvod HaTzadik VaHamishpat HaMechulal, Biachrei Asher Gam Eila HaMeslab Shemimida Zos She'enem Chosim Al Kovod Atzmam Val Kovod Acherim Chasim is Doma Mitzad Zela Shemesh Lachenim Litzu Olav V'mayra Kosov V'Oev Ketzeis HaShemesh B'Gvoros. I know that even though again at that moment of Korach V'Adas, so that Machlokas, that rebellion, the Yerech also stood up in favor, in defense of Moshe. But nevertheless, it was the Shemesh who had been quiet and silent at that time, when at the beginning of the creation. Now it's yelling and screaming, raising the roof, so to speak. Therefore, the choice of the Shemesh is perfect, because the Shemesh represents these two midos, the mida of a love of the Adam Olvim, and at the same time, when they hear the cherpa of someone else, in this case Moshe, they stand up to protest. Anyone who follows in that double pattern is similar to the Shemesh. And therefore, Oav of Ketzeis HaShemesh B'Gvuroso. Now let's take a look at another piece in the Oleinu Shabeach. This one is Parsha Shlach. And he tells a story, Maisim Muflad Ma'od Higiel Yosneinu. We heard this amazing story, and we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, a young man who unfortunately did not have children. And even though he tried every single thing, he didn't leave any leaf unturned. And not only that, he was marbe b'tefilah, b'tachnunim. He visited kirei tzaddikim. He knocked on the doors of tzaddik ador. Nevertheless, no lo nosha mitzaraso, he did not see the Yeshua. Now this Talmud Chacham was many times at the presence of Reb Chaim Kanevsky. But in the last, at the very last time that he was there, he cried bitterly, and he begged him, he supplicated that, please, give me, Reb Chaim, some sort of Eitza Haguna, what can I do? Give me some advice, some counsel. And after a number of minutes of crying, no Raviyayim, the Grach says to him that he should go find someone who is Nela V'enam Olvim, who is being insulted and he's not responding, he's silent, accepting it, V'yavakish Brachum Yimeno. And after that, that experience of Nelov Ven Olvim, that person will give you a bracha. Try to get a bracha from such a person who's Nelov Ven Olvim. So this Talmud Chacham heard the Eitzah. He became a little bit more encouraged. He left the house of Reb Chaim and he started looking for a Jew who would answer, who would size up to this description. And at first he thought it would be an easy thing, but after a certain period of time, it became clear to him that his search would take a long time. That it's not so posh, it's not so simple to find a person who fits that category of Nelovim V'enam Olvim. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesavim Kol Sivos. At these days, there was a big debate, an argument, between two neighbors that lived together in a certain neighborhood in Bnei Brak. And after a certain period of time, he taltu kvar kama batei dinim. They went from one bezin to the other. And bikru bebateim shel kemat kol rabbanim v'ir v'lo higiu l'shum haskom l'shum Pshara. They tried to get an agreement worked out amongst under the guidance of various rabbanim in the city, many rabbanim, almost all the rabbanim, and it didn't work out. The fight goes on, the battle goes on. A day comes by, and our Avrech, who's childless, who heard this Eitzah from Reb Chaim, participates in a chasana of one of his relatives. And when all the people at the chasana sit down for a suda, a certain person comes into the ulam, and he begins screaming in front of everyone in a tremendously loud voice. and with cherpos and gidufim and outright insults. Again, the other person who was already sitting down at the Suda. It got to the point where all the people who were there were absolutely shocked and stunned. They couldn't believe what was going on in front of their eyes and in front of their ears. And here something amazing happened. The person who was sitting down at the Suda and he was being insulted, he did not respond at all to all these gidufim and all these chirufim that were being showered upon him. He continued to act as if it wasn't being leveled at him, it wasn't being directed at him at all. He didn't pay any attention. However, the Ma'aliv, the one who was insulting him, didn't give up and didn't despair. He continued to shower upon him more cherpos. And this incident happened very close to the table where the Avrech, our Avrech, was sitting. And our Avrech, who needed a Yeshua, as we said before, to have children, he understood right away that there was some sort of Min HaShemayim, his Galgal Olo, his Damnus Paz. There was an unbelievably auspicious moment, a unique opportunity to find someone who fits the category of Ne'lovim V'enim Old. And he got very emotional at what he was seeing, at what was going on in front of him. He stood on his feet. He looked at the person who was being insulted to be Mashgiach, to be careful, and beg him not to respond to all these bizyonos. And a certain person, the Ma'aliv, started to be Mashmiya Dvar Shmam Shena Dasov Losom. He started saying things that you couldn't possibly tolerate them. Also Chamosel Shalad Nifka. At this point, the person who was being insulted got very angry. And his motions, his body movement, indicates that he was about to return a battle, a very Lahashim Melchama Sara, to really fight. At this moment, the Talmud Chacham, our Avrech, who needs the Yeshua, runs over and he screams in a kol ram, please do me a favor, don't respond to that person, not even one word. When the person looks at him and he's betimahon, he doesn't understand what's going on. He really wanted to ask him, what business do you have? Why are you connected here? But heshiv lo en elucha achar kach. So even before he could ask the Avrech what's going on here and who are your chutzpah, he says, please, don't respond, I'll explain to you later. But do me a chesed. Don't respond to the pegios, to the chiruf and the giduf and that he's being pogebacha. And after a number of times that this happened, then there was a ribui of pegios. So too the chamoso of the other one got, you know, his anger got more and more stirred up, and he wanted to respond, but the Tamachofu continued begging him not to. This goes on for a full hour until finally the Ma'aliv, the one who was insulting his friend, gave up and he left. At that point, the Talmud Chacham tells the Nifka the Eitza that he heard from Reb Chaim, and he begs him for a bracha. The Nelav is very confused. He didn't understand what this was all about, but nevertheless, he gave him a bracha on the spot. He told the Talmud Chacham that he will be zochel merit having Zeresh El Kayoma. And 9 months later, the bris took place. This is an amazing story that fulfills this Pele Yoetz that we saw before, that a person shouldn't be makbid and he should somehow be able to accept the insult. And as the Gemara says, he fits into the category of Ov of Kitzes HaShemesh Begvuroso. And he has an amazing power to give a brach. There's a similar story, by the way, about Harav Shapiro, the rabbi of the shul in North Miami Beach. But this is an amazing thing. Now, that's as far as Pele Yoetz is concerned. Tonight, of course, we have a special program for Masechta Megillah, and I don't think we'll be able to have the regular shiur for Peleoetz and the regular shiur for Parsha. So instead, I want to say a few words about Purim and share with you a drasha of the Chassam Sofer for Purim, which he delivered Tuf Kuf Tzadi Zion. And we're going back almost 200 years. And he writes that Ikar Nes Hu Haschola Samegila, that the Nes of Purim begins at the very beginning of the story of the Megillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hearkens to the Tefillah and the Za'aka of Klal Yisrael. And we find that even with regard to Nineveh, when they raise their voices in supplication and in tshuva, Hashem accepted their prayers. And why shouldn't He accept the prayers of Klal Yisrael? Not only that, the Nes, the miracle that happened, wasn't so much of a violation of the laws of nature. The king loves the queen, and we know about Ahasuerus, as the Gemara describes him, that he was of half chafach, he would change his mind. And the preparation for the miracle is the death of Vashti, which was certainly mamish chutz lehekesh ateva. It doesn't really make any sense within the natural order of the universe. 186 days into a mishte, and kirotzon ish v'ish, lo nishtageah. In other words, despite this extended period of time of mishter, nevertheless, Achashverosh kept his cool, so to speak. B'yom ha'achron nishtageah b'shigon. It's only on the last day of this long, long mishter that's when Achashverosh loses it. Gam ha'malka ha'isa meshugah shefriza b'dvarim. The queen, meaning Vashti, also went a little bit crazy because she said things to the king which shouldn't have been said. The gam mishpato hoyem u'kol, even the judgment of Vashti was distorted, was out of shape. Lahavir amalka mimalucha alzeh, to remove her status as a queen. This is all chutz l'teva. It's all part of Hashgach Elyon about for divine intervention. It's all going to be a preparation for the last and final miracle. V'az, at the point in which Vashti was killed at the beginning of the Megillah, lo ha'Yisrael tovim sharei nenu misudos shol shirasha. At that point, they didn't deserve any sort of miracle. Adarabba, hischayvu kloya rechmano litzlan. They deserved to be annihilated. Ubiyosa shah, shemardu b'ashem. At that very moment of their rebellion, at the very banquet, richem HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rechmanos on klai. So heichin anes ha'godol hazeh, and He prepares this great miracle. Lahoris nasan, in order to teach us that bonim mashchisim, apostle Yeshayahu, afilu b'shosha mashchisim, as Gemara says in Kiddushin, even when they are mashchisim, even when they do perpetrate evil, bonimim, they are still called bonim. And that's the important message that is written, not explicitly, but implicitly between the lines in Megillas Esther. Now, last week we discussed a little bit about the greatness, the uniqueness of Purim. The Chazal say that kol ha'moadim yubetelim, but you may have it be ha'purim lo yizbatlu. And what is it that's unique about Purim? Now, we mentioned, I'm just going to review very quickly, the Bnei Yisoskar, who says that the miracle of Purim will overshadow all the other great miracles of all the other holidays, including Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in a certain sense, it'll be like bitul b'shishim, he says, bitul b'meya. Because the gilui gadol, he says, the unbelievable revelation of the light of Purim will never be bottled, will never be overshadowed. And why is this so? And we discuss the fact that as long as Amalek reigns supreme in the world, the shame of Hashem is incomplete. As the Pasuk says, ki yod al kes ka yud ke, and the vav ke is gone. The yud ke represents Yismuku Hashamayim, the yud of Yismuku and the hey of Hashamayim. That's the gili of Kvod Malchuso up in Shamayim. But Lamata Ba'aretz, the vav and the hey, Vesagel Aretz, that's gone. Because down here what we're seeing is Amalek and the power of evil. What's unique about Purim, therefore, is that we see the completion of the name of Hashem that inheres in the Ness of Purim, because Mechias Haman Ubanov and Amalekim, Yizar Amalek, is Me'ein, it's a little bit of a microcosm, so to speak, of the Gula Sida, when there'll be an ultimate Mechia, destruction of Amalek, when all four letters of Hashem's name will be complete. And that miracle of the Geula Sida in a certain small capsule form was the miracle of Purim. And thus we can understand that although Achashverosh constantly reveals and repeats to Esther Ad Chatzia Malchus Veteos, that's all before the Hapola of Haman. But if you read the Pesukim carefully, you'll see that after Haman is hung up on the tree, after that, Achashverosh drops, he omits the Ad Chatzia Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed himself b'melo hodo, with the destruction of Amalek, and therefore, it's not Ad Chatzia Malchus. So Vatan Esther Amalka v'tomri matzasi chen v'inecha melech, and there it's going to be Ad Chatzia Malchus. But after Haman is destroyed, there it says Vatomer Imal Melch Tov Matzasi Chen Lofar Koshadov Nemelch Tov Nibi Einov. And we have these four Lashonos that represent and parallel the four letters of Hashem's name. And it's Imal Amelech Tov, Imatzasi Chein Lefanav, Kashadov Ne'amelech Tov, Ani B'Einov. Here, the response of Achashverosh is, omits the Ad Chatzia Malchus. We mentioned something in the name of Reb Tzodek HaKohen. He says that there are four basic mitzvahs of Purim, Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, Mishta V'Simcha, and they parallel the four osios of Shem Havaya. Why? Because Milchamol Hashem Ba'amolek Midor Dor. Any victory over Amalek, which in the case of Purim is reflected in four mitzvos, represents the completion of the name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the V'Sogel Ha'oretz. And the mitzvahs that are done with Zechra Nes means that these mitzvahs represent that koach, that power of the complete Yeshua, of the destruction of Amalek, of the Yudke Vavke Bimloa. And those are the four Iker mitzvahs of Purim, the mitzvahs Maisios that represent and symbolize the destruction of Amalek. And as a result, we have the four letters of Hashem. It's no longer Kiyot al Kei Ska Yud Kei, but rather it's Milchamol Lashem Hey Yud Kei Vav Kei Vamolik Midar Dar. This is the great miracle of Purim, and we begin to understand and appreciate that when Esther says Imal Hamelech Tov Yavo Hamelech VeHaman Hayom, if you take a look at those, the first letter in those four words, Yavo Hamelech VeHaman Hayom, you have Yud Kei Vav Kei in its proper order, which means that this is the beginning of the Geula, the destruction of Haman, of Amalek, which will be Yud Kei Vav Kei, the complete name of Hashem. And so, after the destruction of Haman, it's no longer Ad Chatzi Amalchus. And this is what we got, what we discussed last time. But from now on, from this point in my discussion, I want to go on and talk to you about the concept of the Dalet Parashios. And that's going to add a whole new dimension to our discussion that, again, just to summarize, Amalek causes Shaloi Hashem Shalem, but we have to replace those two letters that were gone by destroying Amalek, so that the name of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, will be complete. That's the Geula of Purim, and that's ultimately the Geula seed at the time of the destruction, the final destruction of Amalek. We have a takana of four parshios. We already read Parshas Shkolim, now we read Parshas Zachar. We're ready for two more parshios, Parah and HaChodesh. These four parshios, according to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mardichava, parallel, they correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And he writes, Kodem Avor Lecha Sod Shal Arba Parshios Shkolim Zachar Upara Uchodesh Hehemer Umozim Kineged Dalet Osios Shal Hashem Havaya. Now, how are the Dalet Parshios Kineged the Dalet Osios of Havaya? Hine Arba Parshios Kineged Dalet Osios Shal Havaya. And we're going to try to understand the connection between the Dalet Parashios and the Dalet Osios of Shem Havaya. Shabbos Zohar, of course, which is number two, in which we complete the second parasha of the four, is connected to the second letter of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the He. So we have now, after Parashios, Shkolim and Zohar, we have the Yud K, the Yud Hei of Hashem's name. And they, of course, remain a name of Hashem, Bishlemus, even after Amalek, who is Pogea in the Osios Vav and Hei. And therefore, in the second parasha, Zochar is Asher Osulcha Amalek, that he was Pogem in the Osios Vav Hei, and he caused the name of God to be only half Yud K. And we mentioned the mitzvah, which is given in Parshas Ki Tetzeh at the very end, Timcha Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim, that we ask Hashem to destroy Amalek and be Mashlim, complete the name of Hashem, the Yud Dalet, the Dalet Osios of Hashem's name. And this Kriya of Zechiras Amalek is going to be right in the Shabbos, right before Purim, because on Purim we were zochet to destroy Haman Mizer Amalek and to be mashlim the four letters of Hashem's name. It was Me'ein, it was a microcosm, as we said, of the Gula Sida. And we begin to appreciate why the Nes of Purim is going to produce a Moed which will never be Batel, because it's Me'ein, the Mechias Amalek of the Gula Sida. This idea is perhaps hinted at in the letters of Geula, because if you take the word Geula and you slice it into half, you get Gal Vav He, which means the redemption of the Vav and the He, the Vav of the He of Hashem's name. That's the ultimate Geula, and Purim, as we said, captures that Geula element of Mechias Amalek, of completing the name of Hashem of the Vav He. And perhaps in this light we could understand the famous statement of the Tefer Shlomo in the name of the Baal Shem on the pasuk that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Yamali Hashem Kol Mishal Osecha, that this is a reference to the completion of the name Havaya with all four letters, that all the Mishalos of an Ish Yisrael should be focused on the completion of Hashem's name. That's called Kol Mishal Osecha. That's what we long for, and that's what we yearn for. That's the Jewish yearning. And the kavana is that everything that we have and everything that we ask for is all lechvod Hashem. And we ask Hashem, Shimali Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. Now in Golus, we only have half the Shem, Ein Akisei Shalom, Ein Hashem Shalom. Yimali Hashem Kol Mishal Secha means Yimali Hashem, is the Yud Kei Vav Kei should be Mole, and that's the Yimali Hashem. And this is what a person should intend in every single one of his actions. And therefore, before every mitzvah, he says, L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu. Shchinte, it means that the name of Hashem should be complete. And that's what's reflected in the Zohar. And Shamati, he quotes the famous Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, who says that I heard from Tzadikim that Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov and other Tzadikim that the Kol Mishal, that Yimali Hashem Kol Mishal Secha, it means that the name of Hashem, which is now half, it's split, it's Yud Kei, should become complete. There'll be a Vav Kei. That should be Kol Mishal Secha. And Purim is an Ace Ratzon, that Hashem will accept our Bakoshos. And this is all indicated or hinted at, alluded to in the Megillah itself, when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Esther, Mashe Lasech V'yinoseh Loch, Mabash Koshasech Od V'teos. And again, the Melech here in this context is the Melech Malchi Amlochim. And Ein Medaglikim V'mos Purim, the Yerushalmi says, Elakomi Shaposhet Es Yodo Lito Nosnim Lo. And that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, anybody who puts out his hand, I will give. Imal HaMelech Tov Yovo HaMelech V'homen Ayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu be mamale his shame, because Yovo HaMelech V'homen Ayom is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem will respond to the Bakosh of Esther. God will bring about a Mapol on Haman and on all the enemies of the Jewish people who go in the Derech of Haman and are reflective of Zerah Amalek, so that eventually we will see in our time Hashem Shalom V'Kisei Shalom at the time of the Gula Shlema V'Meherev Yemenu Amen. And the Hapola of the poor, we know that Purim is called Purim in the plural, even though it would seem to be more appropriate to have Pur in the Lashon Yachid. And because Haman only set up one lottery, why Purim? So the Bnei Yisachar says that the Moed is called Purim because it has both elements, the Tzara and the Yeshua, two sides of a coin. And what does that mean? He explains that the Shoresh, the root of the Yeshua, of the Nes of Purim, is anchored in the Tzara. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mesave Sibos Shapur Yipol Al Chodesh Adar, and that would be a month in which the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Maorer is Chus Gdol of Yisrael to save them from the Gzeras Shema, the decree of the annihilation of the Jewish people at the hands of Haman or Russia. And he compares this to the Yom HaKippurim, and Purim is called Kippurim. And when it says with regard to Yom HaKippurim, Enosan Aaron al Shnei Haseirim Gorolos, these Gorolos are parallel to the Purim of Haman, Gorol Echad Hashem, Gorol Echad LaZazel. And of course, at the time of the Agrola, the Kohen puts his right hand in, his left hand in, he puts his two hands into the Kalfi, he takes out the Gorol B'Yamin, takes out the Gorol B'Smol, he puts it on the two Izim, one goes Lashem, that's on the Yamin, the other one on the left goes LaZazel. And Shnei HaSeirim Shal Yom HaKippur, the Mishnah establishes Mitzvot Shiyu Shneim Shavim B'Marah B'Kom B'Dom L'Kichosim Ke'echad. So basically, the two Seirim initially are exactly alike, but after Aaron places the Gorolos respectively, he separates between the two. One Seir is chosen to be the Korban Hashem, the other is chosen L'Sar L'Azazel. So too, the Nes of Purim, before the Nes of Purim, Haman was the Gadol, and Mordechai was on the bottom. But after the Gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Mordechai and Klal Yisrael as his chilek, and Haman and his people are sent Lazazel Hamidbara, thus the name Purim in the plural. And Haman is Mapil Pur down here on this earth, and that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mapil two Gorolos of Kohen Gadol up in Shamayim. And Gidola HaSoras Tabas, the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yudal, Yosem Arbosh, Arboim Vishmonim, Neviim, Vishem Neviyah, Shenisnabel, and Yisro Shekulim Lo, Zirun Lemutov, Ilu HaSoras Tabas, Zirun Lemutov. So we now understand that Haman is Mapil Pur, and that's the Gorol connected Kol Yisrael. He causes that they, the people of Israel, should be aroused to do tshuva shlema, and they would never in all of Jewish history nisora to such a level of tshuva, despite the rebuke of 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os, but rather they were misora to do tshuva, a tshuva gedola, at the moment of Hasoras Hatabas. And that is ma'orah in the Shemayim, a kedusha, sanctity, a kapara of Purim, which is like Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen is matil gorolos, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose one sa'ir, it'll be Echad Lashem, the other Lazazel, so to Purim, it's Yom Kippurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mapil, a pur, two gorolos up in Shemayim, and the gorel is going to separate between Lashem and Lazazel, between Klal Yisrael of the seer, sorry, Lashem, and Haman is going to be the sa'ir Lazazel. And therefore, we understand that these days of Purim are called Purim al Shem HaPur, because the Shorish, the root of the Yeshua, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mapil, a Pur on Klal Yisrael, so that as a result, there will be a Hisorus to Tshuva, and that will bring about the Kapor, just like the Shnei Gorolos of Yom HaKippurim, is Allah, Gorol Hashem al Yisrael, and Gorel Lazazel on Haman. And we begin to appreciate what the Arizal says, that when Esther announces Im al Amelech Tov Yovo Amelech Vahoman Hayom, she intended in this tefillah in front of the Malko Shel Olam that he, God, will be Megalel, revealed in Shem Avaya, which is alluded to and hinted in the Rashi Tapas of Yovo Amelech Vahoman Hayom. And what it means is that Esther's Kavona Tefillah was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be matil on Yisrael Gorol, and on the Gorol of Klal Yisrael it should say the name Havaya, whereas on the Gorol of Haman or Rasha it should say La Zazil, and that's how we're going to bring about through this Seuda the Hapola of Haman. And that's her tefillah, Yavo HaMelech VaHaman Hayom, the Gorolos, the Purim in plural, Echad Lashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Vechad Lazazel, that's going to be Haman. And how is Klal Yisrael Zocha for the miracle of Purim and the revelation of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei in all four letters? Mein Agula Sida, because as long as Amalek was alive and well and perpetrating evil, the shame of Hashem was not complete. But with the Nes of Purim, Haman himself, Nizer Amalek, who was himself the one who was Mapil Pur, he now becomes the victim, so to speak, of the Pur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in Shemayim, because the Gorol, the two Gorolos, one of them falls on Haman, and one of them, which has a Yud Kei Vav Kei, falls on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is designated by the Yud Kei Vav Kei of the Gorol Hashem, because Klal Yisrael are completing the name of Hashem. That's our work, our avodah in this world. And we begin to understand when Mordechai says Al Kain Karu Layuma Yayomim Aila Purim, Beloshen Rabin Purim, it's because through the Pur of Haman down here there was an Esorus L'Shamayim to be Matil two Purim, two lots, which correspond to the two Gorolos of Yom HaKippurim, and the Gorol Hashem falls on Klal Yisrael, the Gorol Lazazel on Haman. And therefore we have the two Gorols, the two Purim Al Shema Pur, because this Pur down here, the Pur of Haman, is going to bring about a double Purim, a double Hagrola and lottery up in Shamayim for the sake of the Yud Kei Vav Kei that's going to fall on Klal Yisrael, and that's going to be our Chelek. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us on Yom HaKippur to bring two Seirim that are exactly identical to each other, and then put the Gorolos, one Sarah LaHashem and the other Sarah LaZazel, this parallels and corresponds to Yaakov and Esav. These were the two brothers that were Ta'omim, that were twins. They were Shavim and Marav Bekoma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Yaakov Avinu because of Yaakov's Maisim Tovim. He's going to be the Sarech Ad Lashem. Esav, his brother, is going to be chosen to be the Sa'ir Echad LaZazel. Esav is the Sa'ir. And if you look in the works of Rav Hutna, you'll see in the Pakad Yitzchak a great deal of discussion regarding this concept of Shnei Seirim that are Shavim Bekoma, Bimara Ubidamin. And the Chidah tells us that Mordechai who Gilgal Yaakov, for Haman who Gilgal Esav. So Mordechai is the extension of Yaakov, Haman of Esav, and therefore, just like on Yom HaKippurim, there's a Gorol of the Kohen Gadol, Shnei Gorolos, Al Shnei Seirim, which parallel Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is going to get the Soyer Echad Lashem, and Esav, the other twin, like the two Seirim, he's going to get the Soyer Echad Lazazel. And here too in Purim, Yom Purim Ki Yom Ki Yom Kippurim Ki Purim Ki Yom Kippurim, is going to be a double lottery, a hipil Haman Pur Al Yisrael Hitak Hashpach Shamayim Shnei Gorolos. One is going to be the Gorol for the Gilgal of Yaakov from Mordechai. That's going to be the Gorol Hashem to complete the name of God Yud Kei Vav Kei. Haman is going to get the as the Gilgal of Esav, is going to get the Sar Echad LaZazel, and that's going to bring about a Me'ein HaGeula Sida. And the Geula Sida means with the destruction of Amalek, Mitachas HaShemayim, the name Havaya with all its four letters will be revealed as a complete name, and that should come to pass. B'mheira v'yameinu, Amen.